This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, both here in the Melbourne Medina and those joining us from the comfort of their homes, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially because tomorrow night marks the first night of the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him for bringing us thus far in this blessed month. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us greater health and greater energies and greater diligence for the last 10 that remain. This is the time, brothers and sisters, where you bring it. You heard that statement? You have to bring it. You bring your A game. Right? It's the last 10 nights, the greatest nights of the entire year. And in one of these 10 nights is the greatest night in the entire year. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, it is during one of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Right? It's during one of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So this is where you bring it. This is where you stop trying. You know when you say, I've been trying to wake up for Fajr. I've been trying to do this, I've been trying to do that. This is where I tell you, stop trying. This is where you just do it. You just do it. You stop trying and you just do it. This is the time. If there was ever a time you had to just do it by hook or by crook. We don't want to say by crook because Islamically we keep things halal. But we say if there was ever a time when you needed to just do it, it's now, brothers and sisters. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be ready to give it your all. If you can take time off work, take time off work. This is the time when a Muslim takes time off work. Not only for holidays, brothers and sisters. I'm amazed by the Muslim who takes time off work for holidays but forgets to take time off work for the month of Ramadan. Or forgets that they should free themselves for the last 10 nights during the nights of during the month of Ramadan. I'm amazed by this person. Sometimes I meet people and say, have you taken time off? Say, I've used up my days. Where did you use up your days? Did you not know every year you have 10 nights, the greatest nights in the course of the whole year? It's not as if it comes unannounced. It's not as if it is announced during some years and not during other years. It's every year. And it's not as if you don't have an idea. Right? So this is the time. If you can take time off work, take time off work. This is the time to eat less. Alhamdulillah, there's a day of Eid, which some people call the day of Eat, mashallah. Right? Which will come and you can eat then. This is the time to eat less. So you sleep less at night, I mean. Right? In the day, obviously, we're not eating. You don't want to fill your bellies during iftar. For if you do that, it's going to trouble you throughout the night and you need your energies. During these nights. I wish I could talk to you about this more, but we have a lot to get through today. I'm just announcing to the referee, today there will be extra time, inshallah. So please be ready for it. Please inform your linesman. And inshallah, we will dedicate the khutbah tomorrow for salat during the Jumu'ah proceedings, dedicated to this topic of Laylatul Qadr, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, yesterday, walillahi alhamd. Well, firstly, I welcome you all to our ninth, is it our ninth episode? Who's counting? Ninth episode of the series, A Blast from the Past, Seerah in the 21st Century. SubhanAllah, days are flying and my time is running out. I just realized I have, I think, 8 more slots. SubhanAllah, 8 more slots. And so little done, and there's so much left to do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us barakah in our time. Yesterday, we learned just one lesson, but it was a mighty lesson, especially in this day and age. Today, we're only going to take one lesson as well. I wanted to take more than one lesson. I need to take more than one lesson, but we can only take one lesson given how many benefits there are from this one incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before I tell you that incident, yesterday very quickly, we discussed Hilf al-Fudul and we took out many benefits. Who went home yesterday and did their homework and benchmarked themselves against some of the lessons that were said, especially the points pertaining towards being just in speech, in action. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. You watched via the live stream? Because I didn't see you yesterday. You see, I familiar faces, we know, you know, who's here and who's not here. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. This concept of benchmarking yourself against that which is ideal is part and parcel of the Sharia, where we take account of ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes account of us. Just one hadith, brothers and sisters, that I forgot to mention yesterday, which related directly to the last matters we discussed yesterday, the matters of supporting good, that which the Sharia considers sacred, even if non-Muslims do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Min ahabbi an-nasi ila Allah." Listen to this, my dear brothers. Pay attention. Open both ears right now. "Min ahabbi an-nasi ila Allah." From the most beloved people to Allah. We want to be from the most beloved to Allah. Do you want to know who are the most beloved to Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Anfa'uhum lin-nas." Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. From the most beloved people to Allah are those who are of great benefit to the people. People, not just Muslims, to the people. Never forget this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters. This is what breeds within us a desire to ascertain the quality of selflessness, which was a quality manifested greatly by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Selflessness, not selfishness. Selling fish was never good for you. Unless you were selling it for more than 1 pound. You remember the 1 pound fish? No, you guys are down under. That's a story the British can tell you, inshallah, about. Being selfish was never a trait taught to us by the Quran nor the Sunnah. Nor the giants that walk the face of this earth that you and I try and walk upon their shoulders. It was never taught to us by them, nor ever was it a trait from amongst their traits. They were selfless, and we spoke about this yesterday. So this hadith, I really wanted to share with you. We also learned the importance of tawheed and looking after our tawheed, right? And when we take an oath, we only swear by Allah. Although it was a footnote, it was a mighty footnote because it pertains to our aqidah and belief. And we spoke about the grave mistake of those who say touch wood and fingers crossed. Today, brothers and sisters, we want to discuss the marriage of the best person who walked the face of this earth to the best female. The best female from the females has witnessed. And that is the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Khadija radiallahu anha. And this incident is well known, alhamdulillah. So, and this incident, brothers and sisters, an event is an inspiration to the Muslim, especially the Muslim female, and the non-Muslim female, and a spouse, both husband and wife. It's inspirational. This epitomizes what a marriage should be. This epitomizes the institution of marriage and makes manifest how indeed marriage is a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. An ayah min ayatillah. And you will see why as we traverse through today's session bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Our mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, was a noble, elegant, determined, intelligent. I told you, inspiration. She was inspirational and is inspirational to the Muslim female and the non-Muslim female. Let's say that again. And these are just a few adjectives describing her. She was determined, intelligent, noble, and elegant. Radiallahu anha. She enjoyed a posh lineage. Not just any lineage, a posh lineage. A lineage recognized as posh and excellent by the Quraysh. And Allah blessed her with material well-being and financial standing. She was rich. And not just rich, she was said to be from amongst the richest alive at that time. Allahu Akbar, a female. A female. Subhanallah. She was an entrepreneur. She had a business. And what did she do? She preserved her modesty, radiallahu anha. She would hire males and she would give them some of her wealth and let them go and trade with her wealth. A share of the profits. A percentage of the profits. Right? She would give them a percentage of the profits. This is what she would do, radiallahu anha. News reached Khadija radiallahu anha. Obviously, this is all before prophecy. News reached her of this amazing person amidst the people of Mecca. His name was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. His mother's name was Amina. News reached her of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she heard nothing but greatness about this person, about his manners, about his morals, about his etiquette, about his conduct, about his trustworthiness, about his intelligence in trade, about his belief in being financially independent. And we discussed this before when we discussed how he was a shepherd for a portion of a gold coin when he looked after the herd. A person who valued financial independence, and he was a person who knew the value of a gold coin. Not just a gold coin, but a portion of a gold coin. He knew what it was to earn. He knew what money meant. He knew the weight of money in the pocket of a person. He wasn't one who did not have the ability to offer diligence with regards to his own wealth or somebody else's wealth. She heard amazing things about him. And this is not strange, for this is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was amazing before prophethood and even more amazing after prophethood. So naturally, she wanted to hire him. Naturally, you look for the best. This is what you do. You look for the best. She wanted to hire him for her to do trade on her behalf. So she sent someone with an offer to him and offered him work, what you and I would call today a job offer, and maybe a JD in it. There's a job description, and we would also place the package, how many off days you get, what percentage you get, what's expected of you, and so on and so forth. Someone went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this package. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an intelligent person. He agreed, right? He moved on. He was growing his skill sets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was bettering his CV, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew that it's important to be well-rounded, right? Many people, the majority, do not herd sheep. They're not shepherds. I've done that, and I've acquired from it, right? And now I have an opportunity to acquire other skill sets, understand other industries, and so on and so forth. So naturally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out to do trade with the money of Khadija radiallahu anha. And Khadija sent one of her slaves with him. His name was Maysara. Now don't forget that she already heard great things about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, she sent Maysara with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not because she didn't trust him. Allah knows best. But what I can deduce is, perhaps she wanted to understand how true what she heard of, how true were the facts that she heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? To authenticate. I've heard good things about him. Let me send someone to accompany him. Right? Because during travel, you come out. During trade, you come out. So perhaps Maysara can determine exactly how true the statements about this man is. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maysara, obviously, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was who he was. He wasn't putting on a show. Maysara saw amazing things. He saw how trustworthy he was, how intelligent he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was able to look after her finances, right? And how he valued the money and kept account of it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no negligence and there was no lack of due diligence. And not only this, Maysara saw some of the amazing blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, right? The trees used to stretch and the shade would stretch and cover Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so on and so forth. So this slave boy, he understood. He understood that this is amazing. There's something unique about this person. And Maysara went and reported it to Khadija radiallahu anha. From testimonies that Maysara received, I don't know if the battery got stronger all of a sudden because the microphone picked up on volume. From the testimonies that Maysara received regarding in Syria, when they stopped in the city, in a city in Syria, and the monk witnessed the tree stretching and the shade stretching and so on and so forth, testimony was received by Maysara from this monk, and he too went with this to Khadija radiallahu anha. Right? In fact, this monk said that no one stops under the shade of this tree but a prophet. So that we get from this that the monk knew of a specific tree that was specific to prophets, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired his prophet to stop there, and this was the testimony given. So in a nutshell, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam impressed. He impressed. And as he impressed, Khadija radiallahu anha became impressed. And she decided that she wanted to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she sent her friend, Nafisa bint Maniyah, to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Khadija's desire to get married. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being an intelligent man, agreed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the marriage of Khadija radiallahu anha was arranged by her father Khuwaylid according to the most sound report, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The reason I'm highlighting this is because most of the reports say her uncle, Amr ibn Asad, he was the one who conducted the proceedings. But the most sound report in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best is that her father, Khuwaylid, she was Khadija bin Khuwaylid, he was the one who took care of the proceedings. And I'm highlighting, right? There's lessons that are going to come from those brothers and sisters. So try and hang on to every point that I say. Now Khadija radiallahu anha was 40 years old at the time, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 15 years younger. How old was he? 25. He was 25 years old, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now a footnote for you all. Not only was Khadija radiallahu anha 40 years old, but she was married twice before. She was married first to a man called Atiq ibn Aiz al-Makhzumi, and she was also married to a man after that known as Abu Hala ibn al-Nabbash al-Tamim. She was married twice before. The marriages didn't last. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his Al-Bidayah, cites that Khadija radiallahu anha had children. And I'm citing this again because there's a lesson that you and I are going to take from this. Khadija radiallahu anha, brothers and sisters, we heard how amazing she was before Islam and before marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was also amazing, if not even more, after marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such that in our Sharia, we have, or our Sharia has cited many merits of Khadija radiallahu anha. From her merits is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best of the females is Maryam bint Imran, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace and blessings be upon him. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the best of females is Khadija radiallahu anha. Many a time we ask, what should we name our daughters? Maryam and Khadija. And don't give me that argument. It's old fashioned. Don't give me that. This is upon the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the best women to have walked this earth. Right? This is where you and I give our daughters, may Allah bless us with daughters, great role models to look up to, and great lives to anticipate, to emulate. So this is from the merit of Khadija. She was from the best of all females. And indeed, she was the best. For in the seerah, we find that the Prophet ﷺ used to talk so much about Khadija, even after, meaning especially after her demise, after she passed away, radiallahu anha. So much so that his young wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, would become jealous. And this is nature. This is nature. That's why I tell the brothers, you know, when you have these discussions about taking on a second wife and so on and so forth, and your wives become upset, don't be hard on them. It's also natural for them to feel what they feel. They're possessive of their husbands, right? You should acknowledge that our wives are possessive. So be sensitive. Be sensitive, right? And that's why it's not good to, every time your wife does something, you tell her, you know, I got my second slot free still. This is not good. This emotional blackmail is not good, right? This is emotional blackmail, and it's not good. You shouldn't do that. Because, and sometimes, you know, husbands say, what are we joking? You're joking, you're a man. A man is not like a female. You're joking, how do you know how she's received it? You don't know how she's received it, right? So you shouldn't do joke like that, because it's natural that she's going to become affected negative in a negative way, because she's possessive of her husband. And as I said, be sensitive. The females say that, right? Our husbands need to be sensitive, the S word. Right? You need to be sensitive, my dear brothers and sisters. So Aisha radiallahu anha would become upset. And she would say, but she, meaning Khadija, was an old woman with red eyes. Allahu Akbar. Aisha radiallahu anha. You see, when you get jealous, what happens? This is our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha. She is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was an old woman with red eyes. It was enough if she said she was an old woman. With red eyes, subhanAllah. And then she goes on to say, and Allah compensated you. Allahu Akbar. Look at these words. Allah compensated you with a better and younger wife, meaning herself, Aisha radiallahu anha. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became an old. This caused him to become upset, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would say, no, indeed, he has not compensated me with anyone better than her. Allahu Akbar. This is when you be just, right? He's not saying it to put Aisha radiallahu anha down. He's saying it as a fact and haqq and truth. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, I am the head and the best of all of mankind. Wala fakhr. I'm not saying it in an arrogant way. I'm saying it as a fact. It's a God-given fact. Allah has made me the best. There's a difference. There's a difference when somebody says it out of arrogance and somebody is stating a fact. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not putting Aisha radiallahu anha down. Rather, he was stating a fact that no, she is the best. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she believed in me when all others disbelieved. She held me truthful when others called me a liar. She sheltered me when others abandoned me. She comforted me when others shunned me. And Allah granted me children by her while depriving me of children by other women. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. lessons, my dear sisters in the audience. You see, the brothers are smiling. The brothers are saying, oh, mashallah, this is the best lesson today. What I've been trying to tell my wife, alhamdulillah, the Shaykh is doing it for us. But we'll come to you, brothers, just now, inshallah. We'll come to you, inshallah, right? So, look what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take note. Take note, my dear sisters. Right? Take note of this. This is what she did, radiallahu anha. And thus, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held in high regard. Wallahi, there's so many lessons flying through my head right now that I haven't listed. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. May Allah make it easy. She was one of the greatest supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A supporter of his every endeavor and every matter. And I want you to pay attention to this point because I have a lesson from this. She was a supporter in every endeavor and every matter. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to do good to his uncle Abu Talib and take one son from Abu Talib and bring him up. Talib was poor. And he had a large family. And he was good to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his feet. And he wanted to help his uncle who was very old. So he took one of his children. What was that child's name? Ali radiallahu anhu. May Allah gather us with him in Jannah. And all the Sahaba. Ameen. He wanted to take Ali. And she supported his taking of Ali. She wasn't against it. She accepted it. And Ali had a home in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Khadija radiallahu anha. Wallahi. وَبِاللَّهِ وَتَاللَّهِ. We need a few hours, my dear brothers and sisters, to discuss Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And perhaps, it's beyond the scope of this class, but perhaps one thing that we can say before we move on is the narration in Sahih Muslim, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us a great merit of Khadija radiallahu anha when we are taught that Allah Almighty ordered Jibreel alayhi salam, the greatest angel, to pass greetings to Khadija bint Khuwaylid. La ilaha illallah. Imagine that. Imagine that Jibreel coming to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saying, Allah has passed salams to your wife and pass her salams from me as well. Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Who are these people? Wallahi, who are these people? This is enough for us. This is enough for us to understand the merit of Khadija radiallahu anha. In this hadith, Jibreel tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, Khadija is bringing you a bowl of food. Allahu Akbar. Khadija is bringing you a bowl of food. This is a rough translation. When she comes to you, tell her that her Lord greets her and convey my greetings to her. Convey my greetings to her. Subhanallah. And inform her as well that Allah Almighty has prepared for her a calm house made out of pearls in paradise. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at this. Wallahi. Given glad tidings in the dunya. Given glad tidings in the dunya, wallahi, she earned this house. This is the mercy of Allah. But from a human perspective, we say she earned it and you'll see why. I mean, look what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about her. She was there for him always. She made her husband's house a home, so she was deserving of a house in paradise. Radiallahu anha. When we say deserving, obviously, I want to make it clear, we're saying it in terms of me to you and you listening to me. Otherwise, nobody deserves anything, as we discussed earlier. Everyone gets it because of Allah's mercy upon them. May Allah shower His mercy upon us. Ameen. Ameen. You should ask Allah for mercy, brothers and sisters. Abu Bakr once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did I tell you this? He asked him for a dua. Teach me a dua which I can read in salah. Teach me, O Prophet of Allah, a dua for me to read in salah. I think I told you this in one of the earlier episodes, but for those who were not here, you'll hear it now. And for those who are here, this is a reminder. What did he say? Allahumma inni dhalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira. Wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Faghfir li maghfiratan min indik. Warhamni. Innaka antal ghafurur rahim. And have mercy upon me. And have mercy upon me. This is the point to note. Warhamni. And have mercy upon me. Indeed, you are the most forgiving, the most merciful. He was taught to ask Allah to shower mercy upon him. Indefinite mercy. Indefinite. Right? And all of mercy. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower all of mercy upon him. May Allah shower all of mercy upon us. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. There are many lessons, my dear brothers and sisters, as always, that we can take from this incident, an event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, the importance of financial independence. And we discussed this. Secondly, the importance of being trustworthy, my dear brothers and sisters. Being trustworthy. When you sign a contract, you honor that contract. When you are given a place in the workplace, you honor your position there and the permission given to you to enter there. You don't only work well when there's a camera above your head. And you don't only be a person of punctuality when there's a sign-in time and sign-out time or sign-in machine and sign-out machine present. You're a person who's on time every time, and if you leave, you leave after time. And when you're at the workplace, you look after the rules and regulations of this workplace. If you're not allowed to check email, you do not check email. If you're not allowed to browse the internet, you do not browse the internet. We learned this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't need to be monitored physically for you to be diligent. The fact that you're a Muslim should be the greatest, greatest conscience that makes you be a diligent person in the workplace. The fact that you know that Allah is Al-Basir, and that Allah is Al-Raqib, and that Allah is Al-Shaheed, Allah is the All-Seeing. Allah is the All-Seeing. Forgive me, I didn't mean to do those hand actions. We don't know how Allah sees, but we acknowledge that Allah sees. Allah is the All-Seeing, Al-Basir. Allah is Al-Raqib. He's an observer over you. An observer. And Allah is Al-Shaheed. Allah is the universal witness over you. The fact that you know your Rabb, your Lord, these are from His names and attributes. This should be enough for us, my dear brothers and sisters. This should be enough for us. It doesn't matter if my supervisor is not watching. It doesn't matter if my line manager is not aware. It doesn't matter if my boss is unaware. It doesn't matter if there's no cameras around me. What matters is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a universal witness over everything that I do. This is what we learn from this story. And we haven't even gotten to the marriage yet. Right? Discussing the business sense of things. We also learn, my dear brothers and sisters, how to be the best at what we do. Don't just be mediocre. Be the best. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood out from all the males that Khadija radiallahu anha hired. He was the best. He's teaching us that if you do something, do it properly. If you do something, do it properly. And this was the command of Allah to this ummah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has commanded towards excellence in everything that you do. Everything that you do. He has commanded excellence. Ihsan and excellence. This is an ummah of excellence. This is not an ummah of average people. By Allah, it isn't. It is not an ummah of being average. Second best, this is not the ummah of second best, brothers and sisters. This is not the ummah of second best. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed to this ummah, He didn't reveal any book but the best book, the Quran. And He, just any angel, He revealed it via the best angel, Jibreel alayhi salam. And not just in any language, but the best language, the Arabic language. And not just to any prophet, but the best of all prophets, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Allah chose to reveal, He did not reveal it just in any month. Rather, He revealed it in the best of all months, the month of Ramadan. سيد الشهور شهر رمضان. The best of all months is the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says in the second juz, the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. So Allah, when He chose to reveal the best book via the best angel to the best prophet in the best language, He chose the best of all months to do it in. And when he chose the night to do it in, He did not just choose any night. He chose the best of all nights, the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Indeed, we revealed this Quran during the night of power, on the night of power, the best of all nights, in the best of all months. And when He chose the place of revelation, He chose the best of all places. Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allahu Akbar. The best, 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 best. And in this best revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. That you, this ummah, is the best of all nations. The best of all nations. What will make you understand, my dear brothers and sisters? You want me to give an hour lecture on excellence and being the best? Wallahi, I can. The Sharia is not short of any evidences and sources regarding being the best. Being the best. The fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was naturally the best, inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been commanded to follow in his footsteps, is a sign. We must be the best, brothers and sisters. We must be the best. Don't be this cold person, just everything laid back, you know. Somebody has to move you all the time.